The following program contains swearing right from the fucking start.
Hello and welcome back to We Don't Do Stuff. I'm Sunny Dapp.
And I'm Jazz, and this is our podcast about stuff we don't do, but we will eventually.
So Jazz, what have we missed in Birmingham this week?
So I've got three things which I thought looked pretty good. Mm. So there's a national wedding show going on.
Okay, cool.
That was over in the NEC.
Okay, I'm not gutted I missed that, because I ain't literally got no one to marry at the moment. So
I think it's a big business, isn't it? Like just weddings in general.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people literally overspend on...
I agree with you. People do overspend on weddings, especially in Asian community as well. It's always like everyone just goes full out, and you think to yourself, like, what the hell, man? Like, you know, it's literally one day. Yeah, everyone's going to remember it. But at the same time, people are going to forget it until the next one rolls around.
Exactly, yeah. So it's always like bigger the better, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's crazy. Like, you know, people spending over 20K and you're thinking like, don't do that, man. Like, I don't know. It's probably easy for me to say because I'm not married. Mm-hmm. But you think to yourself, you probably would end up doing the same thing, because you're thinking, hopefully, touch wood, you're only going to get married once.
Yeah.
Let's go all out. Yeah. Want to make a day to remember. But does everyone remember it? That's what I'm trying to say.
But I think the venues and the places and everyone else always also charges.
Yeah, they do, man. As soon as they hear it's a wedding, like, you know, the price has got five times the amount. Mm. But I think we're watching something recently, and the guy there was saying that people spend loads when it's the birth of a child.
Yeah.
People go all out. When it's a wedding, people go all out. And when it's a funeral, people go all out.
Yeah.
So the three major life events.
So like emotional things that link to emotion.
So I think that's it, man. I think we should have our next business ideas need to be around wedding services.
Yeah. But anyway, so there was this national wedding show going on.
Yeah.
And you could have checked out the show, and they had hundreds of wedding specialists from bridal boutiques, florists, jewelers, photographers for the ultimate wedding shopping experience.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's typical kind of things that you would have probably expected from
a wedding
exhibition show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably end up tasting a lot of wedding cakes as well, personally.
Maybe we should have gone.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking what freebies can we get? Obviously, you won't get anything that's crazy.
Yeah.
Or you might, man, you never know on it. You never know. Amazing.
Okay, so the other thing that we missed was on Friday. There was... You've heard of Rachel Paris, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Improviser, and she's also actor, and she be on... what's that?
The BBC's The MASH Report.
The MASH Report, yeah. She's wicked, man. Yeah.
With that guy, what's his name?
Nish Kumar.
I was about to say Ramesh Ranganathan. Because that's
up.
His thing,
that's
isn't
his
it?
Joke,
everyone
isn't it?
Confuses him with Ramesh, isn't it?
You heard about last time that he was in... he was on the tube, and someone sent him a... Someone tweeted a picture at him saying that, oh, I've seen this guy, he looks like a fat version of Nish Kumar, and then someone's like, no, that's him.
Yeah. So anyway, so Rachel Paris had a show going on in Bromsgrove.
Oh, no way.
At the Artix Theatre.
Yeah.
And it was just basic stand-up song sketch comedy.
Yeah.
And so it's probably like a bit of improv as well.
Yeah.
But I think that would have been pretty good to see her.
No, I think it would have been cool as that, man, because the improv stuff she does is this group called Ostentatious, and they basically improvise Jane Austen-style novels.
Hmm.
And they took a full show, and like last time they came to Birmingham, the whole thing just sold out. It's like they're always on Radio 4, Birmingham Rep, Salto Radio 4 audience. It's a beautiful thing, man. But what's the other thing that we missed?
And the final thing was Reiki 2.
Reiki 2. Okay.
Have you heard of Reiki?
Is it that thing where that mystical energy where people like put your hands over you?
Yeah, okay. So basically it sounds like what it is. So it's at the Zen shop in Digbeth.
Okay.
And it is kind of what he's saying. So Reiki is a simple and effective natural healing system. It's a simplified form of spiritual healing that is extremely powerful in overcoming problems of the mind, body and spirit. That's what the press release says.
That's not your endorsement, isn't it?
No.
We're not endorsed by the Reiki 2. Why call it Reiki 2? Like,
maybe
there...
they had a Reiki 1.
But then, okay. But then I also feel now that because I never went to Reiki 1, will I benefit from Reiki 2?
Or maybe it's because on the 2nd of March.
Okay. So
I don't know, but anyway, maybe it's a different form of Reiki.
Thoughts
but
and anyway, opinions on Reiki.
I think it's a bit bullshit, to be honest.
But I think that it's a thing where the human mind is a powerful thing.
But this is the whole thing with, like, you know, like the NHS and all these kind of things. They promote mindfulness.
Yeah.
So if this Reiki stuff gets you into that mindful state,
yeah,
then it's fine in it. But I think it's when people start saying that it's an alternative to
actual medicine
that you start thinking that, you know what, that's dangerous.
Well, we're gonna get
because some people
that.
Get yeah, yeah, some people get really influenced by this stuff, and it causes a lot of harm to that person.
Yeah,
And like, you know, like some people start saying that, oh, you don't need to take like your medication for this or that or whatever. And they end up having a relapse, which affects them so badly.
Yeah.
That, you know, like it actually causes damage and harm.
That's the thing. I think sometimes, you know, we have to distinguish what's a preventative method of treating ourselves. For example, you know, I'm losing weight. So I know that if I don't sort out what I'm doing now, in the future, you know, it's not looking good for me in terms of, you know, you can get like diabetes and stuff. You know, it's not good for cardiovascular. So preventative method is healthy eating and exercise.
Yeah. But you know, preventative and supplementary as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely.
So like if you're doing like any like yoga, mindfulness or Reiki or whatever alongside a regular healthy routine and to help you relax, I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
But some people do get convinced that this is like a secret alternative.
Yeah. Yeah.
To not traditional, like modern day medicine.
I never modern day medicine. I think that there's another thing as well. Like, I think a lot of people view it as modern day medicine, but the stuff that works is medicine for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
it's because it's been tried and tested over years.
Over years and years, and we've seen a benefit from it. But I think you're right. I think it's great. You know, stuff like yoga definitely works and it helps the mind and it gets you more calm as well. So you feel less anxious.
Mm.
When you're feeling less anxious, for example, you feel less stressed and you don't eat as much crap.
Yeah.
So I think I think you're right. You got to be careful with realizing, okay, if something's giving you a good feeling, that's good.
Yeah.
But don't take it as your full time replacement if you have a serious condition.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the thing.
So basically, somebody was saying that like the commodity these days is space.
Mm.
And I'm not talking space as in space time continuum, all that shit. Yeah. You know, like Mars outside. And I'm literally talking about space in your environment.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like people are literally simplifying their their houses and being like a bit more minimalistic.
So you mean in terms of space, as in like the room you have in your
the
house,
physical space,
the physical space in your room. Yeah.
So they're saying like, you know, the physical space around you also affects you mentally as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think people are saying that that's become the new thing now, where people are trying to like clear and declutter, and
because there's that thing in it, we have a clutter-free space in your physical environment, then it's clutter-free mind in your
So I think for that kind of stuff it's good, but otherwise, if you're not using it as a supplementary thing and using it as a replacement for something, I'd be careful, man. But I don't believe in all this like
the Reiki stuff,
energy from stones and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
It's a bit BS, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's fair enough, man.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on and forward. Shall we look at our next section,
which is what's trending and the what's got a Z in there.
Yeah,
finally got it right.
So I had quite a few things trending. There was quite a few good things going on.
Yeah, okay,
so I was making some notes as I was going along.
Yeah.
So I've got about four things. What have you got?
I got one thing.
You got one thing.
Yeah.
Shall I go with my four?
Yeah, let's go, man.
So this one, literally everybody's seen this.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen this, you have not been on social media this week. So the Momo challenge.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, I was looking at this from like a very outside perspective, and I saw the picture of that Momo
face
thing,
and it looks scary. And
I'm telling you, man, it looks scary, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's not like it's that you could brush it off, like it does look quite scary.
Is that something on the ring or something?
And every time it was coming up on Facebook feed, I kept hiding it, or if it came up on my Twitter feed, because you don't want to be looking at that, you know what I mean? It does look pretty scary. So anyway, a lot of people were saying that, oh, somebody reported this and then this happened and then somebody this happened and then there's X amount of people in Europe have been killed because of this challenge. What did you hear about it?
To be honest, I heard about it that it was coming up on YouTube as well, apparently.
It's coming up on some videos.
And it's coming up on videos, especially when kids are watching the videos. So the kids are finding it really scary.
Yeah.
So I think that this is a birth of a urban myth.
Okay, so basically,
digital urban myth,
Everyone's saying that it happened.
I'm not reading your notes.
Yeah. But basically saying that the Momo challenge
is
like, it's the anatomy, the BBC described it as like the anatomy of a hoax.
Yeah.
So basically they pieced together of how the Momo challenge is basically just a hoax, a hoax and hype.
Yeah.
So basically we live in a world where there's algorithms and what's the other word for it? So do you know like when you click on one video and then something else happens?
So you're going for like, so is that like a miss?
So basically, for example,
a hyperlink that's miss.
Yeah. So basically, like, let me give you an example.
Okay.
So if you are looking for, oh, let me find the video on YouTube that links to the Momo challenge and Peppa Pig. So you search Peppa Pig, and then nothing comes up, like to do with the Momo challenge. So then you search Momo challenge. So now automatically YouTube's going to think, oh, the people who watched Peppa Pig also watched the Momo challenge.
Yeah.
So then it's going to say, like, as a recommendation, or the people who watch this video were also interested in this video.
Okay.
So then that becomes that link.
How
there.
It links together. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
When really the people are making that happen.
Yeah.
Because the majority of the people are going onto YouTube
to find
and they're linking it. So yeah. It's basically that algorithm thing.
So it becomes a self-fulfilling.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, yeah, like somebody said, so one newspaper reported that, oh, the Momo challenge, one parent who doesn't want to be identified, in a school or area that they don't want to say where it is, said that my son was saying to their kids that, oh, I've been told that I have to tell you that the if you don't do this, Momo is going to come and kill you at night. Who's the kid? Who's the parent? What school did it happen in?
Yeah.
That could have all just been made up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that the newspaper report made it up.
It could have.
Somebody could have said to... Yeah, somebody could have said to these people, oh, look, this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can't verify anything because... Yeah.
We can't mean
because
source.
We can't do.
I wouldn't be surprised if the newspapers did make it up, but I think it is. I think as we're saying, it is that whole thing where you say Candyman in the mirror five times and it's going to get you. It's become a birth of an urban myth.
Yeah. So basically, yeah. So that happened, and then they start saying, "Oh, the Momo challenge happened in some European country like Russia or something, where like 100 kids died." Where's the story? So basically, what they did was. The BBC, the police hasn't reported any deaths related to Momo Challenge prior to this story breaking.
Yeah.
Charities to do with like kids charities or anything have not reported anything of the words even mentioned Momo Challenge or anything related to that before the story broke. And when they started investigating into like where these deaths happened in these people, there was no reports related to this Momo Challenge. And it was literally only since after it.
Mm.
So it almost became like... Like you said, like as a self-fulfilling prophecy, basically.
Yeah, and it's that thing as well where it's that... It's thinking into people's fear and intrigue and then the fact that this is getting shared. So once again, it's the spread of fake news, isn't it?
And that thing where the Momo, that thing that they do it, that was actually an image from this company, which is a Japanese special effects company called the Link Factory.
Mm.
And basically, they made this mask or this statue or whatever it is. As part of a exhibition for related to special effects and horror.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, that image is scary.
Because it's like, you know, from what it's origins.
For, what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
So it is supposed to like provoke some kind of reaction from you. But I think like it's literally the anatomy of fake news and hoaxes, man.
Yeah. And it's that's getting shared. It is, and it's getting shared. Yeah. And that's the thing, Will. And obviously people are always looking for the next... either thrill or big story or something that's, oh my god, this thing, we need to watch out for this thing, and most of it, like, imagine the mental and the, you know what I mean, like the unhealthy thoughts and all this must be having on people, and people are shitting themselves over this when other things, real threats, you know, I say real threats, but you know what I mean, like,
it's unnecessary. So people think that there's this like kind of like a dark web thing going on in the background where like all this stuff's happening and they're not going to know about it. But the thing is, like, you can set your YouTube settings and all this kind of stuff to just have like kids shows and all the rest of it.
YouTube settings are weird like that, you know. Yeah. Like, obviously, like TV shows, you know, TV's regulated heavily in terms of what children's shows are, but YouTube is not, apparently. Sometimes things end up on a kid's, even though YouTube got its own kids app, things can end up on a kid's stream that you look at and think, what the hell is that? Like, that's weird.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you never know on it. So it's always. Yeah.
But this is what I mean, like, sometimes it's safer just to have the kids watching a TV channel.
Yeah, or like Netflix or something. Something that's been thingied, like, you know, it's been... So what
I think Netflix would be better. But anyway, so that was quite interesting, didn't it?
Yeah, that was definitely interesting, man. Because I heard about it, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
What's the next thing, man?
Okay, so the next thing, I don't know whether you know about this, but it was... You remember Steve Irwin?
Of course, man.
From back in the day, that legend. Yeah. So the Australian wildlife advocate and TV presenter.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, it was his birthday. I think it was last week sometime. I can't remember what day it is. And Google did like a Google Doodle image about him celebrating his 57th birthday or something.
That's when you know you made it, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nah, it was wicked, man. He's watching like, shows.
I mean, like, for me, like, you know, we had the British people. What was that guy's name?
Is Terry something?
Terry...
He's a wildlife something on BBC, isn't it? So he used to be the...
Was it Nuts something?
Terry Nuts. I was going to say Terry Hogan. You have to Google it, man. Terry Hogan, Terry Nuts.
Yeah. But anyway, so there was like some British people as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But this guy was like, he was Australian, and the wildlife animals that he was seeing,
they were crazy,
like,
man.
Crazy, like things that we've never seen, like before, or, you know, we've never seen up close. And this guy was like, he was quite influential in like our
when growing up as kids, because obviously, like then when he came out, the Animal Channel was big. Sky was having a massive thing, so that's when everyone used to watch his shows. Everyone used to watch him, and it was crazy because he used to, like, you know, be there running alongside, getting chased by Komodo dragons.
Exactly, yeah.
He used to be there doing some crazy things with massive alligators and crocodiles.
Yeah, and then, he used to get bit by snakes and shit. And he never used to like react, and he used to get like bit by animals.
And he used to be captivating because that he was just nuts.
Yeah,
the guy was nuts. And then I remember when people basically completely lost it at him because he was holding his kid. And he was there, like
dangling it over.
Dangling it near and over, possibly. No, he had his kid in one hand, and he was playing with an alligator, and everyone just like lost their shit.
That is dangerous, isn't it?
But
we don't know.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing, I suppose. But I think the sad thing was obviously when news broke that he passed away.
Yeah, so he died basically, isn't it? Yeah. So what happened was they were filming underwater.
Yeah,
and a stingray.
Yeah.
Lashed its tail
into his heart,
innit? And killed him.
What a way to go, man. That's messed up.
But apparently, they filmed that happening as well.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I heard they destroyed
the footage, innit?
Yeah.
So it doesn't ever get released.
That's sad, man.
Which I think is a fair point. But anyway, the reason it was trending was because, have you heard of PETA?
Yeah.
What is the acronym PETA stand for?
I don't know, but is it something like protection of the ethical treatment of animals? People for ethical treatment of animals, or?
Okay, maybe. Yeah. So they're basically some kind of organization that protects wildlife, or so they say.
Yeah.
And they basically start dissing Steve Irwin.
What?
On his birthday. And they basically wrote this shit. So Steve Irwin was killed while harassing a ray. He dangled his baby while feeding a crocodile, wrestled wild animals who were minding their own business. And today Google Doodle sends a dangerous and fawning message. Wild animals are entitled to be left alone in the natural habitat.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So it's PETA stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I think that what he done in his work, he basically inspired a lot of people to appreciate wildlife.
Yeah.
To make people think, wow, there's creatures out here and they need protecting, they need looking after. Because there are people out there. And sometimes even though zoos are not the best environment for animals, sometimes it's the only environment where people are going to experience a zoo, because not everyone can afford to go to not everyone can afford to see these crazy places, you know. We only watch it on TV, the David Attenborough or Steve Irwin show. So I think it's quite disrespectful what they've done there. I think obviously they're trying to raise a thingy, but I also feel like they're kind of mocking him as well.
Yeah, so they're basically saying that it's harassment, dragging exotic animals around, including taking babies from the mothers, and going on conferences and forcing them to perform on shows.
Yeah.
And animals deserve to live as long as they want, and are not for humans to use or whatever bullshit like this.
Yeah, I mean,
so basically, the way I see it is that the guy was trying to show the people that how to appreciate the animals.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like how fascinating they are, how wonderful they are, and all this kind of stuff. And I think he inspired a generation.
Yeah, like his own kids are like looking after the animals and like...
Like literally appreciate the animals, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that this was basically a sly attack on... Not even sly, it was a direct attack on that geezer on his birthday, yeah?
Yeah.
Like affecting his memory just to get reactions.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And I think it's that thing where like they want to... I mean, obviously they're doing what they're doing, and they are trying to get the word across that animals shouldn't be like that. And, you know, we understand their take on it. You know what I mean? Like, fair enough. But, well, they've done it. I mean, they got us talking about it. You know what I mean? So they've done that thing. They got themselves out there. So fair enough. Innit?
But this quote, man, that somebody's put on the... to cuss PETA, yeah?
Yeah.
They got crocodiles are easy. They try to kill you and eat you, but people are harder. Sometimes they pretend to be your friends. That's mad, isn't it?
That's mental, isn't it?
Because that's what these guys, PETA, are probably doing. Like, they're being their friends, yet they're attacking this geezer because he's not doing the wildlife conservation in the way that they see that it should be done.
Yeah.
Even though, like, whose method's better?
Yeah.
Like, if there was one method that was better, everybody would be doing it and it wouldn't be a problem in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, it's... Steve Irwin died in 2006, man.
Holy cow, man.
That does not seem like it was that long ago, innit?
That does not, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. What else was trending on social media?
So the other thing I got is Comic Relief.
Okay. So give us the what's the story on this, man?
So basically, Comic Relief is a charity national. Well, how does Comic Relief link into Red Nose Day? Is it the same thing?
I think it's the same thing. So I think that I felt that the Red Nose thing was basically something that you wear to... But it gets brings the people together in it.
Yeah.
You also, the money that's raised from the Red Noses goes into obviously raising money for Comic Relief and the work that it does.
So what do you think of like these kind of charities?
I don't know.
Because you know what I think, innit?
Well, I think that, okay, it's once again, it comes down to that thing where, okay, you know, they are helping people do stuff.
Yeah.
Helping people raise awareness and look, there's, you know, there's world problems in the world and it needs to be sorted out. But at the same time, I think to myself, like, I don't know, man, like, how much money has been raised by all these big charities? How much money do they raise, and actually, how much of it actually goes to
those people?
Those people, yeah, those people that need it.
Like, so for me, I personally don't donate to these charities.
Yeah,
like, you know, like if anyone asks me for any donations or anything, I just don't. So like with that and Children in Need.
Yeah,
and it sounds like it's very unfair and like, you know, like,
yeah,
like we should be donating to it, but the problem is that when we were kids and we were younger, we always used to donate to these charities, and it was only when I started to work and, like, you know, like even up to the point where I was at university, used to donate to these charities. But then after a while, you start looking at how much money they've raised and how much money has actually gone to the people.
Yeah.
And you start realizing that it's not actually a good way to donate to these type of charities. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
So like, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't find that fulfilling anymore.
Yeah.
To like give to those kind of charities. So that's the reason that I don't. But like you said, if the people are doing stuff and it's doing some good,
yeah,
and they feel that that's the best way that they can support,
yeah, because some people, for some people, they probably feel that, you know what, they can only give a quid or something, or 2 quid or something.
Yeah.
But then I always find, what I find with charities is that sometimes, like, they're going for the everyman, and the person probably ain't got enough money for themselves, let alone giving to charities. And then it's always, you know, like
the most charitable people seem to be the ones who need to benefit from the charity money themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Saying, or like, yeah, and they find that with like lottery as well. Like, for example, the lottery is a charity, and they're saying that the most people end up buying the tickets are the people from the most deprived areas. And it's like, because those people, obviously, people want and need the money.
Yeah.
So it's always weird. Like, how do you? And there's, you know, the whole thing kicks up as well. That, okay, the celebrity endorsements, which we're gonna get onto as well. So for example, you know, before his whole tax thing became revealed, Gary Barlow was there, you know, raising money for Children in Need, saying, donate your money to Children in Need.
Yeah.
And then people were saying that, look, mate, if you were paying your taxes, perhaps there wouldn't be this deficit in the funding for
services in
for like
UK and stuff.
UK services and all that. And that's what I think it comes down to. It's why do we have this deficit? Where are people doing tax avoidance or evasion or whatever's the right one, or the wrong one that they shouldn't be doing? And that's where I think it needs to marry up, because there's a lot of companies out there that just end up just going through the loopholes of paying tax.
Yeah.
But yet then the everyday person has to be like, oh, give out the generosity of your own heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, they probably can't afford to.
So the reason it was trending was because there was a Labour MP called David Lammy, who basically said to Comic Relief in general, and to one of these stars who was on Strictly Come Dancing or whatever, her name's Stacey Dooley. So he basically said that he's tired of these unhelpful stereotypes, where the people are traveling to these poor areas
in Africa,
posing with the children there, and portraying this white savior complex. It's quite controversial topic, that, isn't it?
But no, I think he's right. I think the fact is that, you know, it comes down to that Oxfam advert when they say, you give a man a fish, he'll only feed him for a day.
Yeah.
If you give him the net, he can do whatever he wants to do. But even that, it comes from a position of, oh, we are helping you. So I suppose that's not the right thing to say.
No, basically, it is right. So basically, what you're saying is that these people feel that they're going to these areas and civilizing them.
Yeah, which is the whole issue with what colonialism was, exactly, or why people thought they were doing colonialism. Yeah.
You didn't read this Wikipedia page, did you?
No, no, no.
That's exactly what it says on there.
Yeah, and that's the whole problem. And this is where David Lam is coming from, and I understand where he's coming from. That, look, stop thinking that the people in Africa can't help themselves. They can and are helping themselves.
Yeah.
Because for the 364 days of the year, when you're not raising money for Comic Relief or whatever, these people are getting on with their lives and they're living their lives.
Because you know what, like, we obviously everyone's on Twitter and stuff, but I always come across these Twitter tweets and stuff where there's like somebody from Africa who has invented something and like, you know, like they've, the thing is that they've invented it and it's good and it's a useful product and all that, but the only time that they get a recognition from it is through like social media where they've done something and like nobody else is like picking it up or like promoting it and even like in the people in their own country are probably not picking up and promoting and saying how good it is, and like the charity work's never like, like even if they did charity work, it's not always recognized whereas like these external Western countries come in and show the difference and like what they've done to help them and say, look, this is what we've done for you. So it's something that they've done for them to show that it's a self, what's the word,
self-serving.
So basically self-serving. So that's what white savior complex is. It's where like a white person who acts to help a non-white person in the context to be self-serving.
It's
I think the interesting thing that he said,
and I think it is, and I think that the celebrity Stacey Dealey was responding to it or something around the rhymes like around the lines of like, oh well, I'm just here trying to do this cause, I'm just trying to bring, and he's like, listen to what he's saying. He's not saying that you shouldn't be doing that. He's saying that stop depowering, because history's, you know, history shows us that the whole colonialism came in, depowered everyone from Africa, from India, and then now it's still like, oh, we're going to do the same thing again, we're going to do this charity work because you guys are so poor. Not the fact that historically all the riches were stolen at your country, or the manpower was taken at your country, fed into the UK, and now that's why you're poor, and now we're going to give it you as part of global aid. That's reparations, man. That's what that is.
Yeah,
it's money that should be going back to these countries. So it's, I think, no, fair play and David Lam for bringing it up, because I think no one has spoken about it. And then everyone is saying that, but Lenny Henry was there as well. But the problem is, you know, Lenny Henry is of, and I say the problem is, the idea is that it's meant to be an African, people from the continent Africa
helping themselves
and saying, look, we're intelligent enough, we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
But even like, then people are saying, oh, but Lenny Henry's black, Lenny Henry was helping. But they don't understand that. He, first of all, you know, Jamaican descent and born, I don't know 100% if he's born in the UK, but he's a UK person as well. So even that is seen as not
a UK celebrity. We know that for sure, innit?
You know what I mean? He's, and even that's seen as obviously we're not disrespecting the work that these celebrities are doing, but it's I think it has to be a shift to that. It's no longer the look at this poor African kid.
Yeah.
It's, you know, what can they do to empower those people? We're talking about inventions and all that. I've seen like people create these, like this one dude created this it basically, it created like these lion, these lights to deter lions.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
That was pretty cool, and that stuff's like trending on social media, and it's wicked. And the fact the kid, I can't remember his name, but I think we need to look this up and get his name up. So innovative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's using these lion lights, and he's made them himself. He's using the scrap material. You know what I mean? And that's the sort of thing that needs to be recognized. That these people are not waiting for your Comic Relief handouts. They're actual people who are willing to,
and intelligent,
exactly,
to do it,
and I think that's the thing where, you know,
and an intelligence that hasn't been taught in a way.
That's true,
because you know, like they are poor, they can't always get the education that they need, or
we have here,
and there is an element of them like learning things from their own experiences and things that are beneficial to them, but the thing is that they're not, nobody recognizes those people for that.
Yeah.
So basically, if you look at the portrayal of Africa in the media, it's always seen as a poor country
that needs saving from white.
And you know, like I said earlier, that I've stopped giving money to charity. It's because that's the images that I'm always shown.
Yeah.
Like from my own experience, that's the image that I'm always shown. And I always think to myself that if we've been giving money to our charity, where has this money gone?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, it's true.
Like, over that lifetime. And I think this is because that's the thing that sells, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think there is an element of, like, we get influenced by the media ourselves.
Of course,
like, we've always shown that Africa's not a developed country.
That's always, and that's everything that we've always shown in our history books and in geography.
Yeah.
We've had the developed world and the underdeveloped world, or they used to call it the third world. And then they never turned around and said, long ago, these places were mega rich.
Yeah.
And they never ever discussed that.
Yeah, like, and they had the resources and all the rest of it.
They had the resources, they had way more manpower, they had loads of, the earth was full of so many minerals and things.
Yeah.
They never talk about that. They never talk about that.
Anyway, should we move on to the next thing that you got that was trending?
Okay, so on a lighter note.
Yeah, so I've got something on a lighter note.
I got something on a lighter note. Okay, so my thing on a lighter note. So this comedian called James Felton posted a picture about his favourite beverage, and his favourite beverage is a mix between milk and Coke.
Yeah.
And then straight away, everyone on Twitter was like, wait a minute, we've done this before.
Yeah.
You're late to the party, man. We were doing this when we were kids, man. We used to call it Dindi Chan.
Yeah.
Everyone used to want a bit of that.
Yeah.
And everyone used to want that because you mix them two up and it tastes okay, and you have to drink it quick, innit, from what I remember. But another thing as well is, like, a lot of people have been doing this before as well, because you could get in some of these American diners, and this, just to throw back to that as well, you can get a Coke and you can put in a vanilla ice cream with it.
Yeah.
So essentially it becomes
milk and Coke
in it. Yeah. So you know what I mean? So this was trending on social media, and some people were like disgusted by it.
Yeah.
And then I think most people more disgusted that, because how dare you try to rediscover America again?
Yeah.
That's already been done. You know what I mean? Stop it.
I saw some of the comments under this tweet, and somebody wrote that, have you tried Limeade with milk?
Okay.
Now that sounds disgusting.
Yeah. But you know, Coke and milk is an interesting thing, but as I said, you have to drink it, otherwise it gets nasty.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, some people might think, like, listening to this podcast, like, that's a horrible combination, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a drink called cream soda, isn't it?
Yeah, cream soda, but that's... I know what you mean, okay.
So that's still got, like, a dairy
flavour
to it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always interesting, cream soda, isn't it?
Mm.
So that's my laptop. Cream soda, okay. Yeah. So what's your thing?
So the thing that I've got trending was that there was a family pet, a pug, which is a dog, where the... What are they called?
Pets.
The debt collectors.
Okay.
Yeah. Seized the dog so they can claim the money and use it as...
So they could sell
the dog to reclaim the money. I'm not explaining this properly, man.
You're not? Okay. That's fine. No, I think I got the gist of it. So a family was in debt.
Yeah.
The debt collector came in, picked up the pug.
Yeah.
And has he sold the pug to pay for the debt?
Sold it on eBay to pay for the debt.
Whoa. Is that even allowed?
Well, it's in Germany.
Well, there I would have thought it would have been a bit more like...
But it's mad, isn't it?
That is mental.
Yeah.
That's the thing, man. Quick tip here. Obviously, first of all, try your best not to get into debt. But if you ever do, and a debt collector comes, say, look, I don't want anything. This isn't mine. That isn't mine. You know what I mean? I don't want anything.
Is that what you've done in the past?
Yeah. I'll be like, it's not mine. I don't want anything, man. I don't want anything.
I literally only own the clothes on my back.
Yeah. And then the debt collector rips the clothes off your back, innit?
Yeah.
But like, that's an easy get out of clothes, man.
No, but like, your pet is like a family member.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's like I own a debt and someone taking you.
I don't know, man. But yeah, I think you're right, though. It's messed up, isn't it? It's messed up that they took the dog. And then did they get the money for the dog? Did they get enough money to cover the debt? Because that's only worth it, isn't it?
Yeah. And the worst thing was actually to claim the fees of a dog tax.
Okay, that's even worse, man. What happens to the dog afterwards? Obviously, goes to another family.
It goes to a new family, innit?
A better family, innit?
Unless someone's going to buy it.
And give it back to the...
To kill it.
No, that's horrible. What I was going to say was, why not... Actually, that's holding it for ransom money. Why not just say it to the family, look...
No, but the whole point was that they owed some money, innit?
Yeah.
So they could have...
It's sad, innit?
Yeah.
But this is it, man. They're saying that owning a pet is... It's getting pricey, man, unless you got, like, insurance on it as well to cover vet bills.
Yeah.
And they're saying the cheap alternative to owning a pet is just pet sit for people. You know, people go on holiday and all that. They need pets. They need a pet or something to sit.
Hmm.
But yeah, man. That's messed up.
Anyway, so let's move on to what we did. And the reason the first couple of sections were long was because we haven't done anything.
So what did we do?
Last week we said that we were going to go to original
Patty
Men.
Yeah.
I was going to say Patty Man.
Patty Man. Original Patty Men. Yeah. So obviously we didn't end up going. We ended up going Nando's instead, which is all right. Standard Nando's. Although this time we felt like we got the baby chickens in it.
Yeah, I didn't feel like my food was enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got some baby chickens. We got some normal chickens, but they were tiny.
Yeah.
And then afterwards we went to a dessert place, which was we went to one dessert place and the thingies were broken. Oh yeah.
So the first one we went to, they didn't have the waffle machines working.
Yeah, yeah. And they only had one waffle machine as well.
Yeah, that was weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so the one was broken. So we went to the one opposite.
Yeah.
And
they only had one menu.
Yeah, they only had one menu because they literally just opened up, hadn't they?
Yeah.
But they had four waffle machines.
Yeah.
But it looked like they didn't know how to make the waffles.
Yeah.
It was because like there was like loads of them lined up where they were just like broken waffles in the.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know, when I was leaving, they had like loads of broken waffles in the machine.
Unless they're like perfectionists and they said, you know what, it ain't gonna go out until it's 100%, which is fair enough.
So that one was called Casper's.
Casper, yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. That was in. We're
noticing a big trend with these. I want to say like they're kind of like
American style.
Like, I was gonna say hip hop esque.
Yeah.
Dessert places. Yeah. So it's interesting.
Now I think these ones are like more American diner style.
Yeah.
Because they definitely got that look to it.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the music they were playing or anything like that.
No, they were playing some hip hop music. I remember that.
Yeah. The only thing that I hate about these places, they always tend to be cold.
Yeah.
They don't seem to be warm in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a warm dessert. Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and the waitress. I think they literally just opened up because the waitress was confused with whether our table was number 6 or number 9.
Yeah.
Because the numbers, when you read it one way, obviously it's 9 and 6, isn't it? Yeah. So she brought the wrong desserts over to us.
The worst thing was I was just like, I knew we didn't order any more desserts, but I was like, yeah, we'll take it. No. That was interesting, man. That was interesting. But you know, that was cool. So we didn't end up going there. What else did we do? We didn't do that.
So what did you think of Casper's? Would you go again? Or would you recommend
I'd go again. I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I would go again. I'd recommend it as well.
It's fine. And it was cool. It was cool.
Standard. Nando's, obviously.
Yeah. Nando's is always, man.
So anyway, that's literally the only thing that we did.
Yeah.
To go out, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. We never done anything else.
Yeah. And this weekend, we were invited to that BBC Asian Network
live, but we didn't book the tickets in time, innit?
Yeah, we didn't book the tickets, and Sonny's friend offered you one ticket,
which is alright.
Like, why are you gonna go by yourself? Why did she have one ticket to begin with? I don't understand that either.
Obviously,
so she didn't invite
off.
You to come with her.
Someone dropped off, obviously, didn't it?
No, but did she not? So she had the one ticket to invite you to come along.
No, I think she just someone must have obviously dropped her, and then she probably thought, do you want to come or something? Nah, I'll be alright.
So she had a spare ticket.
I think, yeah.
Oh, right. So she wasn't just giving you one ticket to go by yourself?
No.
All right.
So I'm like really confused. Someone from a
crew. So why didn't you just go with her?
I wasn't really down for it. I don't know, man. I'm like, yeah, I wasn't really down. I wasn't really feeling it, man. That's why I didn't go.
Fair enough.
So what did we watch? We've been watching a lot of Netflix.
So we were watching that Fish Tank program.
Shark Tank.
Oh, fucking hell. Shark Tank program.
So, yeah Shark Tank is basically, it's
Dragon's Den, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Dragon's Den, and I think Dragon's Den, obviously, I think Shark Tank originated first, I think.
Okay.
I can't remember in it. What I read, but yeah, it's a cool program. So it's like Dragon's Den. You got your entrepreneurs who are willing to invest in a person's company for a percentage of the
investment
company,
yeah,
for investment. And it was cool, man. I kind of like these programs. I like Shark Tank, Dragon's Den, because it does get you thinking about, you know, what. It gets thinking about the scale of a business. So you got a business and you're thinking, okay, is it scalable? Should you want to go big?
Hmm.
Or if you're making a decent profit in your area or in your current size, just keep it at that.
Yeah, and like, don't bother scaling up.
Don't bother scaling up. But sometimes even the sharks themselves turn around and say, you know what? Do not scale up.
Yeah.
You know, keep it as what it is. You don't need our investment. You don't need our time. And the thing I love as well is that they just throw in loads of great business advice for the people. And they're obviously getting that for free.
Okay, so you know what? Yeah, like compared to Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
I think this was better.
This is much better, yeah.
For the reason that you said. Yeah. That the advice that they offer those people.
Yeah.
It's like being in a fast track thing where people are giving you like the advice straight up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I thought that was better.
And it's,
but like from Dragon's Den, yeah, surprisingly, the American version is less dramatized compared to the Dragon's Den version.
Yeah, because Dragon's Den is very dark, dingy.
Yeah.
You know, this one, they're having bants and all that. We definitely recommend it. I mean, the people that are on it, they're pretty cool, man. So I don't know any of these people's businesses, but obviously you look them on Wikipedia and the other reputable sources, and you see that they're obviously making decent money. They know what they're doing as
so
well.
So there's that guy, Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban's, he's good
as
well.
He's pretty cool, isn't
he? Yeah, you got...
I think my favourite's Laurie.
Yeah.
But I don't know what her...
So she's last known as a Gringer? Okay. Greener? Or something like that. I can't pronounce it, man. You got Kevin O'Leary, which is classed as self-entitled Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Robert Hejavec.
He's good as well. He looks a bit like Robbie Williams,
innit? He doesn't. So yeah. Robert Hejavec as well, his stick is that he's son of an immigrant, came over here, built a security company, which is massive.
And that guy Damon, I don't know his last name either.
So Damon John started FUBU,
For so that's
you,
clothing
company that was massive as well. And it's just interesting. And the important
and occasionally
thing is,
they have different people, and they have that Martin
Ashton Kutcher, so him on there. They have another guy who's this guy called Chris Sachs, I think his name's Chris Sachs. So he first person in initially invested in Uber, Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
And then those companies just
boomed.
And he didn't invest in Airbnb.
Yeah.
And he was like, because he, for him, Airbnb was like, oh my God, someone's going to get murdered in in someone's house. So he didn't invest in that. So it's always interesting how how these people think as well, because you're going to get to, I know it's, they even say it now, they've got this thing saying that, look, this is not business advice. This is what the shocks. That's their own opinion on it.
Yeah.
But you can see sometimes where they're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, you get people.
You can, but you know, the interesting thing as well is, that because the program's from like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Like some of the business thinking a few years ago and the things that have boomed
and
profited
now.
It's on
a proper trend, isn't it?
It's a bit different as well, isn't it? Like some of the things that they're saying that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like we've seen that, okay, you know what? That product actually worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's a bit weird, isn't it?
So you see, like, for example, the drones. Yeah. Like, they're saying that in America, or, you know, in the world, the drone market has just gone crazy. Like people are loving the drones,
and even now, like they're still
I personally don't understand people's obsession with drones, but it's a gadget, it's a new toy, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what
it's
it
like having a remote control car, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
yeah. And there's like literally a fan base for remote control cars and remote control boats and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you got something that you can fly around,
yeah,
because I think remote control planes is always a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I can kind of get it. Like it's a good hobby, isn't it?
But no, I think this is wicked, man. Like I really enjoy this. I definitely recommend watching it.
I think it's awesome, man. But would you recommend it? Would you watch it again?
Well, obviously I'm watching all the seasons.
Yeah.
The thing I love as well is they give an update, and they don't just give an update on the people who said yes and got a deal.
Yeah.
They also give an update on the people that didn't get a deal.
That's what I think is better than Dragon's Den, isn't it?
Yeah. And then even with like the one of the women, she, I can't remember what foods she does. What was it? I can't remember any. That's not helpful at all. But she basically just turned around and said she went into the Shark Tank. She never got a deal, but she listened to every bit of advice that the sharks gave her.
Yeah.
And she said to her business just increased.
Yeah.
Like 10, like loads.
Hmm.
And then even some of the people who did go into Shark Tank never got a deal, said after the show, their businesses just increased as well. Another thing I love as well is with Shark Tank as well, is the diversity of the people coming into it as well.
Yeah.
You got you know, you got people from business, Harvard educated people.
Yeah.
You got people that are like, look, this is just me doing this by myself.
Single mothers, young people, young people.
Yeah. You got young black men coming into the space and saying, look, this is what we've done ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, this guy had a valet app. And obviously, like, you know, things are a bit different in America. In terms of valet and parking and stuff, but it's a thing there, man.
Yeah,
you know what
like
I mean?
We're looking at some of the people thinking that person is so clever.
Like,
you know, the people who are like the entrepreneurs.
And the guy even had that thing called Signal Vault as well.
Yeah,
which is interesting. So Signal Vault is a credit card shaped piece of plastic.
Yeah,
that basically helps you block any unauthorized access to your contactless card, so no one can basically jack £30 off your card. Because this is nothing as well. As soon as the contactless technology was thingied in your cards, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I could basically get a thingy, you know, a card
RFID reader
RFID,
what it's called,
not only just pick up people's details, but I could basically start charging people £30 out there. And you think to yourself, well, how are you going to protect against that? And you use that Signal Vault thing, innit? So that was it's not endorsed by any other Shark Tank products, by the way, man.
Yeah,
but the stuff was good.
And but I liked it, man. But like we were saying earlier as well, that the people coming on, like they're not all articulate in the way that they speak, and they're not like speaking eloquently and all this kind of stuff.
Minded, yeah,
they're literally just speaking as themselves,
yeah,
with a product that they know the market,
yeah.
And I think that bit is good, man, because I don't think that you should go to like any jobs or markets or to anyone that you're working for and try to be like them.
Yeah,
like just be yourself.
Yeah,
and say the things as you would say,
because that's more authentic, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's more authentic. You're not trying to be someone, you know, the people can realize that they're dealing with an authentic person who's got an idea.
Yeah. And the other thing, that you won't trip over your words as well.
Yeah.
Because you're using words that you're familiar with. As soon as you start using words that you think that those people will understand,
yeah,
that's when you start to trip up in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I've that's what I liked about the people who were presenting their stuff.
And I think that's what the investors saw as well. They look at the people and think, this person's great, I want to invest in them
as their personality. They like
personality.
Well,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So what? So that was definitely good. So we're gonna end it with our final thing that we watched on Netflix. So this is interesting. So what is this called, man?
So it's called Behind the Curve.
Behind the Curve. And what is it
and
about?
It's about people who believe. So it's mainly in America. So there's a large growing of people who believe that the Earth is flat.
Yeah.
And they literally believe it with loads of like
conviction,
man. And they got like, they're trying to like prove that it's like not flat. But I mean, in terms of this documentary,
yeah,
I would 100% recommend watching this documentary. And just simply because it was so interesting.
It was.
And it's not because we believe the Earth is flat.
Yeah.
And it's not, and like watching it as well, and you know, like having the, I think I'm going over the points too fast. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, it's cool, man. Just...
So basically, like, watching the documentary, like, you hear the story from both sides.
Yeah.
So you hear the story from the people who believe the Earth is flat.
Yeah.
And the scientists who are also looking into, not looking into the Earth is round, because obviously they know that, but they're just commenting on these people who believe that the Earth is flat.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that I liked about it was that the scientists were saying that we shouldn't say to these people that you lot are stupid for thinking this.
Yeah.
Because we should try to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Because they're saying that the people who believe the Earth is flat also have that scientific intrigue themselves.
Yeah.
Because they want to prove something that they can't visualize.
Yeah.
Which is what science is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, you've got something that you believe is true.
Yeah.
So how do you prove that it's true?
Yeah.
And you shouldn't just believe it just because you see it.
Yeah.
Like, there should be scientific experimentation to believe that what you see or hold to believe is true.
Mm.
Is actually, you can prove it.
And that's what it's about. It's a quest for truth.
Yeah.
And in the end, what we figured out, like, spoiler alerts on this as well.
Earth is not flat.
yeah. What we figured out in the end was that no matter what, whether it was a scientist or whether it's people who believed in the flat earth, both parties wanted the truth for, search for truth and what the real answer is.
Yeah.
Both parties wanted to do scientific experiments. Both parties wanted to belong to a community where they believed that their beliefs were held.
And that they belonged to that, somewhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was the interesting thing, seeing it like that, seeing the contrast between the two.
Yeah.
But then obviously, you know, you have to draw a line where it was amazing that the flat earth people were saying that, look, we're going to do experimentations. This is our theory.
Yeah. And this is when we're going to test that theory.
And then one of the tests they done was...
They did two tests in the show, innit?
So what was the first one they done?
So the first one, they used a laser-guided gyroscope.
Yeah.
That basically says that... So you put the gyroscope on a flat surface or on the earth or whatever. And if the earth is rotating, the gyroscope can detect it.
Yeah.
And if the gyroscope moves by... I know it was 15 degrees, over an hour, it means that the earth is moving, basically, yeah?
Yeah.
And they did this experiment only to find... So the flat earthers did the experiment to find that the earth is actually spinning.
Yeah.
But then they were saying that, why is it... Is there something else causing it to appear to give the results that the earth is spinning?
Yeah.
But this is where the problem was coming in with the scientific... What the actual scientists were saying.
Yeah.
So they were saying that you have a theory or a hypothesis.
Mm.
You test that hypothesis. And if the results show that you are right or wrong, you accept that as the result.
Yeah.
But what these people are doing, because they don't have that scientific understanding to the same degree, they are not accepting the result because it goes against what they believe. So they're introducing a bias into the results.
And you know, humans, people, we do that.
Yeah.
We do that throughout our entire life. We do that when we, when we're rationalizing situations with other people. We do that when we're making life decisions. So it's normal to do that.
Yeah.
But the danger comes when, and first of all, everyone's free to believe what they want to believe as well. Neil deGrasse Tyson was commenting on this as well, because he was saying that people are free to believe whatever they want to believe. The problem we have is that when people in influential positions get to a space where they're believing something that can lead harm to others and future generations.
Hmm.
And a massive thing we're obviously seeing as well is climate change.
Yeah.
Some, you know, Donald Trump doesn't believe climate change is real.
Hmm.
You know, pulls out the Paris climate change accords or peace accords, whatever. And that's dangerous.
And because, he says we're not supporting them because I don't believe in climate change.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, like going back to the Flat Earth program,
Yeah.
So they don't believe that the Earth is spinning.
Yeah.
So they're saying that that's wrong. Like, why can't we feel that the Earth is moving?
Yeah.
And you were saying that.
So basically, when, you know, for example, when you're moving in a car, you feel the initial acceleration of the car.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, the body stabilizes. And you also got to remember as well is that we were formed on a spinning planet.
Yeah.
Our body is... Climatized to this spinning rotation.
Yeah.
And the thing as well is the Earth is so massive that we are not going to feel it.
Yeah.
We are not, we're literally specks on a massive planet. We're not going to feel it. A lot of people, Flat Earth, are saying as well that why can't we see the curve of the Earth? Well, once again, we're so tiny that we, no matter where we stand, we're just going to see a straight line.
Yeah.
Or what we perceive to be a straight line. The only way, you know, you can figure out there is a curve is obviously when you go further out.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was just nuts the way the
I kind of see what like Flat Earth people are saying. Like, you know, like they're saying that like the tools that we've got. So you're basically using a tool to measure something that we believe to be true in it.
Yeah.
So they're using this gyroscope and they're saying if the gyroscope moves then, or if it moves by this many degrees, then that's correct. But how do we know the tool's correct?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So I understand that aspect of it. Like, you know, like has the tool been validated?
Mm.
Yeah, I get that, yeah. It's like that episode of Rick and Morty.
Mm.
Do you remember when he was going to put a shelf up?
Yeah.
And he was going to use that bubble and...
spirit level.
As he's going to use a spirit
regular
level.
Spirit level, yeah.
And Rick goes to Morty that, why are you using a spirit level? Do you actually think that that's a straight line?
Yeah.
And the thing is that we do believe that it's a straight line because that's the tool that we use to measure if something's straight.
Mm.
Yeah. And he said to him that, I'll show you what straight is. And he...
level,
So he made... the floor so level
that
it messed him up psychologically because he couldn't accept the fact what true level was.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like there is that element of like, you know, like you shouldn't believe everything that's there.
And it's good that, you know, they are contesting because that's what science is.
Yeah.
Science is about, you know, what's the popular belief? Okay, why is that? Because, you know, you got to remember so many years ago, popular belief was, you know, let's take it dark again. Popular belief was this race is inferior and we're the superior race.
Yeah.
Now that's, you know, even though that's been dispelled, people still holding views.
Yeah.
Popular belief was a cigarette a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah.
That's been disproved as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That no longer is the case.
Yeah.
You know,
The theories get unproved all the time and there's like new thing like scientific discovery to show this. Because one of the things that they said was that like somebody said 450 years ago that the Earth is round. Yeah. And now if everyone goes against that belief, it means that it dispels everything that people know about science. But the thing is that theories get proved wrong all the time.
Yeah. Like, you know, people, that's the thing with science, it's always changing.
Yeah.
Like,
and when there's always discovery in it. Yeah.
And when you thought it was something else, you know, something else changes. And I think, obviously, in the end, when you're watching the documentary, you realise that, like with anything in life, people just want to belong somewhere.
Yeah.
People just look for us, you know, people deserve to belong as well. You know, human belonging is you know, we're sociable creatures. You know what I mean? Nobody doesn't want to be secluded. But it was quite sad because the people that were coming together as flat earthers, you know, they over the views and opinions or just whatever's happening in their life, they're like, we've, you know, been divorced or we lost people, we stopped talking to our family.
Mm.
You know, it was like, wow, like it was heartbreaking, if anything. It was quite sad to see this happening.
Like, psychologically, it was interesting, innit?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like, so the people were presenting these arguments and saying, oh, the people who believe the Earth is round think this, this and that.
Yeah.
And then when the filmmakers were saying, so, hold on, if you apply it to yourselves, does it mean this, this and that?
So, the guy's called Mark Sargent, so he used an analogy saying that, look, you know, he's seen the film Truman Show, and he says that if you're the mayor of the town and you don't want to disprove that your theory is false, you're going to believe the lie.
Hmm.
But if you're a person who's seeking the truth, you're going to leave the town because you're like, this town is a lie.
Yeah.
Filmmaker there and then turns around and says to Mark Sargent, well, aren't you the mayor of Flat Earth Town?
Yeah.
Would you know? Yeah. Would you leave? But he said himself he couldn't leave. He's too deep in the belief.
Yeah. Because they spent. Yeah.
It's like you know, it's like asking, I don't know, someone who's got a very high religious position in a particular religion to convert to another religion because that person's so deep in what they believe. And I think that's what it is. I think that any of the flat earthers now probably wouldn't want to ever.
Yeah, because then they're not part of that community.
They're not, and also they're gonna not be. There's another thing as well, because it's interesting what the scientists are saying as well. They're saying that they're gonna be not only shunned from their flat earth community when they try to re-enter into, well, you know, air quotes, normal society. They're gonna feel like they're not gonna be welcome there as well.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to the people feel they have to double down in this.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes it's even more dangerous.
Yeah, because then so basically what they're saying is that the flat earthers believe the earth is flat.
Yeah.
But then when you ask them about another concept, they can't explain it without making stuff up.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of like dumb down what you know about other things to be true to prove the one thing that they believe, which is the earth is flat.
Yeah.
And so the example is that, you know, when the there was the eclipse.
Mm.
So they're saying that if the earth isn't spinning and the moon and the earth are separate from each other.
Yeah.
How is the
eclipse happening? Yeah.
And they can't explain it. And they're saying, oh, it's some kind of illusion done by
Hollywood. Yeah.
To prove that the earth is round. When the thing is that who's benefiting from knowing that the earth is round?
Yeah. It's like what is the financial gain from that? Like, what is anyone going to gain from that?
Yeah.
Like, is there
but I think it's an interesting show, isn't it?
Globe sales.
Exactly, yeah. It's the I don't think, sellers. Yeah, but I think a lot of people in that show did seem like they just wanted to be part of something.
And I think even like the main three celebrities, so you had the guy from NASA, who broke this idea that
the earth is flat.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that was just crazy. Like, and then you got the guy Mark Sargent, and then you got the lady Patricia Steer. And it was interesting because they were talked in the documentary. Patricia Steer herself was saying that there was people who were creating conspiracy theories about her.
About her, yeah.
And she was like, oh, you work for the CIA, you do this, you do that.
You're a lizard woman and all this kind of stuff, innit?
And it's like, I think it's that paranoia as well.
Yeah.
And people need to be really careful with
the
effects of paranoia. But I think it's a definitely interesting documentary. Definitely recommend watching it. Would I watch it again? I think it's, for me, it's kind of sad to watch again.
Yeah, I think it's upsetting, man. I think it was, yeah. See that, the impact it had on the people.
Yeah, and I think it's that thing where, like, you know, we all want to be a part of something. We all want to believe in something. Everyone wants to be on the inside where this is the truth. This is the truth. This is what we know.
But you should definitely watch it with someone, because me and you had like so many conversations in between the stuff, and we're shouting at the TV, we're pausing it, we're rewinding it, watching bits again and thinking this is just mad. But you know what, yeah, I think we should wrap it up. So you wouldn't watch it again, but I would recommend it.
Wouldn't watch it again, definitely recommend it.
How many stars would you give it?
I think I'd give it about 4 stars, man.
I think 4 stars, man, just because it was so interesting.
It was so interesting. Yeah. It was interesting to people's lives. And, you know, it's not whether or not you believe the earth is round or flat. It's the idea is that, you know, stay true to science. And that science isn't a bad thing. Science is a tool that can be used to prove and disprove many things. You know, okay. I mean? That's the main thing, isn't it?
So what we got doing next week?
Next week, I'm going to watch Captain Marvel on Saturday. And then also my Jumprov show is happening Wednesday, 6th of March at Serve Bar in Birmingham.
Yeah.
But that's it, man. Those are the two things we've got going.
That's it, man. So we've had no emails and tweets.
No emails and tweets.
So you can check us out on social media at We Don't Do Stuff, and email us at wedontdostuff@gmail.com.
Yeah. I've been Sunny Dapp. I'm independent.
And Tuna McCartney. That means no problem. So thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.